greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please keep your Bibles turned to Psalm 119, Psalm 119, verses 89 to 104. This is the longest psalm in the entire book, the longest chapter in the whole Bible. All in all, you'll find that it is divided according to the Hebrew alphabet, and every section begins with that particular Hebrew alphabet. So all in all, you will have 176 verses, 8 verses per alphabet. You have 22 Hebrew alphabets. And so from verses 89 to 104, we are dealing with two groups of Hebrew alphabet, Lamed and Mem, L and M. In the Hebrew Bible, verses 89 to 96, all begins with the letter L. 97 to 104 begins with the letter M. This is for ease of memorization. To them who do not have the Bible in their hands, because it was very costly to have the Word of God copied by hand from generation to generation. And so many of them literally will have to hide God's Word in their heads and in their hearts. They memorize God's Word. We live in an age of technology. Sometimes when you look at technology, it makes our lives so easy, so fast, and I believe to our detriment. We have concordances, we have encyclopedias of the Bible, we have Bible dictionaries, we have all sorts of aids to help us understand God's Word. And before the invention of the computer chip, it was the hard copy. Libraries would be huge, cumbersome, very, very costly to purchase and to build up. But in our age and in our time, everything seems to be now reduced to just one CD-ROM. And very soon it's going to reduce itself, shrink its size to maybe even a tiny little computer chip. And this may be even planted in our bodies. We have a Bible in our handphone. We have a Bible in our PDA, in our computer, in every corner of our homes, except inside us. That's the sad part, isn't it? Because it is so readily available outside of us, so much so that there is no compulsion, there is no impetus, no reason for us to memorize large chunks of the Word of God as what the people used to do in the olden days. To them, the thought of memorizing 176 verses was just like an ordinary event, like an ordinary memorization exercise. For us, the thought of memorizing 10 verses would cause us to give up, surrender. Too many verses, not to talk about 176. It's a nightmare, isn't it? By the time you finish verse 10, you have forgotten verse 1. Don't talk about 176 verses. But they did it in Hebrew, of course. And the Hebrew letters will help them. And so when it comes to verse 89, they will know what it says without looking at the Word of God, because they don't have the Word of God. So from these verses, you realize that when the psalmist penned these psalms for us, the kind of view that they had on the Word of God will put us to shame. They have the highest view of the Word of God in ways and means that you and I could not even imagine. Look at how God described His Word to us. He has no apology. God did not mince His words. Sure, there are millions of people throughout the ages attacking the Word of God from every jot and every tittle, from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation. They continue to attack the Word of God, and it will never stop. The saddest part is that human beings like ourselves, who have tasted of the goodness of God, the grace and the mercies of God in our lives, we do not rise to the occasion to defend the Word of God. Some of us are like the proverbial ostrich. We stick our head in the sand and hoping that all will be well. But there are others who will capitulate and who will crumble under the load, under the fight, under the battle.
They will give up. No point fighting. We just think about preaching the gospel. Don't care about the word of God. Don't defend the word of God. The most important thing is the salvation of lost souls. You study the Bible and you realize that that is not true. That is definitely not true. That is the lie of Satan. How can you preach the gospel when you do not have the word of God? When you have such a low view of the word of God? When the Bible that you have in your hand have mistakes? The word of God makes no apology for what it is. And so the psalmist tells us, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Whether you like it or not, whether you reject it or not, whether you argue or not, whether you throw it away, as far as God is concerned, his word will not be in any way tarnished. It's like the ray of the sun. When it shines on the carcass of a dead animal, you think the decay, the maggots and all the rot that is on the decay of the animal will in any way tarnish, dirty, pollute the beams of the rays of the sun? Not at all. Not whatsoever. You and I can attack the word of God all we want. You can reject it. You cannot memorize it. As far as God is concerned, the Bible tells us, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled, is established in heaven." That means for all eternity. You may not like it, but it's to your loss. You may not want to read it. It's to your loss. As far as God is concerned, he has done his part. He has created the universe to tell us that I am God Almighty. And he knows that general creation, that is the whole world around us, that speaks in a language night and day that every man understands. That he exists and he is a powerful God. And that is enough to condemn us and to judge us and send us all to hell. Romans chapter 1 tells us that no man will be with an excuse that will stand before God on the day of judgment. Based upon creation, it is sufficient evidence to condemn us to hell. But to bring us to heaven, God gave us special revelation. The Word of God. This is a translation of the perfect Word of God, which is in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. And we thank God for this translation, which is the most faithful, most accurate, that is based upon the inspired word that God has himself given throughout 1,500 years, and he has also preserved for all of us throughout the ages, that if you know how to read Hebrew and Greek, you have the perfect word of God in your hands and you can read it. And that's the text that we use to teach in the Bible college. But for our day-to-day usage, we do not know Hebrew and Greek well enough. And so we use our translation that is in our vernacular language, in our mother tongue, in the language that we are most comfortable with, and for us it is English. For others it will be Korean, it could be Swahili, it could be Japanese, it could be Mandarin, it could be any other language. And these are all translations based upon the most accurate, faithful, perfect Word of God that God has given to us. And this is exactly what the Bible here means. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. You may not like it. You may hate the word because the word of God is very powerful. There have been villages that do not have missionaries. Missionaries have been evicted and chased out because of the government who hated Christianity. But these missionaries were very wise. They leave behind the translation of the Word of God in these villages. Years after, with the new government, these missionaries came back to these villages. And to their surprise, pleasant surprise, they found that entire villages were converted to salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, simply because they read the Word of God. The Spirit of God will work in the hearts of these villagers and their lives were totally, completely transformed. And once they had it, they shared with their family, their friends, and their loved ones, and before you know it, the entire village. And then this village became a Christian village, and then they will spread to other villages and so on. The power of the Word of God. In other words, missionaries can be dispensed with, but not the Word of God. You can have all the missionaries and the whole world becomes a missionary. All of us become missionaries and we all send out. But without the Word of God, you can do all you want. You can give your life. You can be burned on the stake. Without the Word of God, it will be useless. The
Spirit of God will use the Word of God to transform sinners into saints. The power of the Word of God will be established in heaven, that means forever. Forever. It will not be lost. Foolish men will continue to attack, undermine the Word of God. And if you rise to the occasion to defend the Word of God, to stand up for the truth, don't treat it as a chore. It is the greatest honor given to us as sinners. To hold in our hand the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, to continue to defend and to fight. At the same time, to hold in our other hand to give them the gospel of peace, to save souls, to build up the saints, the sword and the trowel, to fight and earnestly contend for the faith. Because if you do not fight for the faith, you have no faith to give. The Word of God, the Bible says, thy faithfulness, that is God's faithfulness, is unto all generations. All generations had the Word of God. Thou hast established the earth, and it remains, it stands. And they continue to stand this day according to thy ordinances, for all are thy servants. All are God's servants, the whole creation, all of them listen to the Word of God. By the spoken Word of God, the world came into existence. And by the power of God, the world remained as it is. The whole creation, the Bible here says, servants of God. Sun, the moon, the stars, they all listen. Mountains, the hills, the beasts, the land, the fishes in the sea, the birds in the sky, they all listen. Only one creature refused to listen, other than the fallen angel. Us. Us. That's our problem, isn't it? The creatures of God, all of God's creation can be called God's servants. They listen to the Master. They listen to the Creator. But somehow you and I, and we are created in the image of God. We want to go our own way. We want to do our own thing. We want to fulfill our own heart's desire, our own ambitions at the expense of the Word of God to our own hurt. And the hurt to our loved ones and our friends. How sad it is when we have the most precious commodity that God could ever give to us, His Word. And we do not value it, we do not cherish it, we just put it aside. And we are asked to take time to study, we drag our feet. We are asked to spend a few dollars to buy it. We grumble, we mumble, so expensive. But it's not expensive to buy a $1,000, $3,000 shirt, a dollar shirt, pants, a suit. Oh, it's not expensive to buy a $100,000 car. Oh, it's not expensive to buy a $2-3 million home. But it's so expensive to buy a $50 book to help me better understand the Word of God. We have all priorities all mixed up. And we are supposed to be God's people, God's children, bound for heaven. And we have so much to live for as God's children. We are supposed to be people who have seen the light, who knows the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, whose eyes have been opened, whose life is known as the abundant life. Every morning we wake up, we're supposed to be the happiest people on planet Earth. There's so much to live for with the entire world before us, and we are God's ambassadors. That's how the Bible describes our life as Christians. A joyous and a wonderful life, a life that is so easy to live, if lived in obedience, of course. It is so difficult to live when we live in disobedience. Because Jesus promised us, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Take my yoke upon you. Our problem is we take our own yoke upon ourselves instead of the yoke that Christ has given to us. And that is why sometimes as Christians, we have the saddest demeanor on planet Earth. And we are supposed to have embraced the sweetest message on planet Earth. Have our sins forgiven. No more bound for hell or to the lake of fire, but bound for heaven with the entire eternity ahead of us
a great, great, tremendous life in the presence of God Almighty with a glorified body. Does that not thrill your heart to have this kind of life awaiting all of us as God's children? And then when we look at this short, short journey here on earth, our sojourning, the Bible describes it, where we are to be Hebrews, outsiders, aliens, foreigners in a world, in a land that is now ruled by fallen angels and the prince of this world. It is not our home. We should not be so comfortable in this home, in this world, because it's not ours. We have a home in heaven. And therefore, everything in this life is dispensable, except your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. You think your family is indispensable? There will come a point in time when you die, your family will be left behind. The only one that is indispensable is God Himself. The Bible here tells us His everlasting word, established in heaven by God Himself forever. This is the very word of God that we are going to begin when we study a series of messages on the will of God. This morning, we're going to study the preceptive will of God. As sinners living in this world, please understand this truth from God's word. No matter what you and I do, no matter what you and I may choose, we cannot get outside of the will of God. Remember this. In other words, you and I do not have absolute free will. Someone has described your life in this manner, my life in this manner. All of us are like in a big ship. While you are in the ship, you can do whatever you want in that ship, but the direction of the ship has already been decided by the captain. Everyone in this ship will head in one direction. Whatever you do in the ship, and that's exactly what you do. You think you have the freedom to do whatever you want in the ship. That's about it. But where is the ship going? You have no control. Your life, my life, your destiny is in God's hands. Whatever you choose or decide, you will always be within the will of God. Because if any creature can go outside of the will of God, God will cease to be sovereign. Whereby you can do something that is independent of God. That means God will cease to be sovereign, and that means He will cease to be God. You may not want, for example, to do the desired will of God. That would be the desiderative will of God. And then you will fall into the punitive will of God. For example, a believer wants to marry an unbeliever. The believer knows that he has no right, according to scriptures, to marry an unbeliever. But if he chooses to do so, or she chooses to do so, God's desired will for this believer is that you marry another believer in the Lord. But if you choose to marry someone who is not a believer, you go against the desired will of God for your life. What you have fallen into will be the punitive will of God or the chastitative will of God, where God will punish you for what you have done. But it's still within the will of God, but this will be the painful part that you will have to endure. It is still the will of God, but another aspect of the will of God. And we have many, many who have gone in the direction to their sorrow, shame, and sadness. The preceptive will of God simply means the commands of God that you find in Holy Scriptures. And the commands of God is none other better than the Ten Commandments. All those Bible verses that talks about the command of God refers here to the preceptive will of God, that which God has mandated, that which God has revealed to us. These are all under the preceptive will of God. Commands of God, like the baptism. Every Christian should be baptized. Every Christian who are baptized must take the Lord's Supper. The commands of God are throughout the whole scriptures. The precepts, some may call it statutes, commandments. These are all classified under the precepts of God, testimonies. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. How should therefore you and I regard the word of God? The psalmist regards the word of God, this precious word of God, in two ways. And he benefits from it. First, he understood that the word of God brings life.
as well as death. Verses 92 to 96.
Unless thy law had been my delight, I should then have perished in my affliction. You see, unless he regards the word of God with great pleasure, that's delight, he will realize that he will die, he will live in sin. But because he delights in the word of God, he has found life. The commandments of the word of God tells him that he is a great sinner. And because it tells him that he's a great sinner, he now wants to deal with this terrible, terrible sin that he has in his life that will condemn him, that will cause him to end up in hell. And therefore, he will find a Savior. And once he has found a Savior, he will love the Savior and he will become a child of God. And that enables him to say that I have great pleasure in the Word of God. Do you have great pleasure in the Word of God? That you look forward every morning to your time of quietness that you spend with the Lord. So some of us do not like quiet time. Quiet time is a time of quietness that you spend with God that must be done first thing in the morning. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ did it first thing in the morning. Mark chapter 1. You find that in there. No matter how busy he was, he makes sure that he spent time in communion with God. When you pray, you talk to God. When you read God's word, God talks to you. That's why in quiet time, you must pray, you must study and read God's word. Why? Because it's pleasurable. It's a family time with your Heavenly Father as a child of God, whom you love with all your heart, soul, strength and mind. And that is why quiet time is always a time of joy, something that you look forward to, not a burden or a chore. If it's a burden, it's a chore, then there is a big, big problem with us. Either our love for Christ has gone cold, or we might not even be born again. We go through life using our own wisdom, our own mind, our own ways and our own experience. And then we plod along, and before we know it, we make a mess of our lives and the best years of our life of serving the Lord. All wasted, all gone. And they will not come back. How sad to waste this life that God has given to us. So valuable, so precious. This life on this earth, every minute, every second is priceless. Especially if you know you are a child of God, a Christian. You know how delightful and how enjoyable, how wonderful it is to sit in the quietness of the morning when everyone is asleep and just you and the Lord, no phone call, no computer, no distraction, and you just read God's word and you just pray and you just commune with Him. The sweetness, the delight and the joy. That's what the psalmist says. If you do not find delight in the word of God, it's so hard, isn't it? To tell someone to come for sunset, for example, to listen to God's word. Why are we not moved? Because we have no delight, we have no joy in studying God's word, in communing with the Lord. Who's the loser? Because we think that one meal a day on Sunday morning is enough. When you love someone, no amount of time that you spend with the person is enough, isn't it? You ask a couple who are in love. They go out and they spend time together after work, an entire evening of dining and talking for the past 3-4 hours. And the first thing that the guy did when he steps home after he had dropped off or sent the girlfriend home, what do you think he would do? Guys, what do? You pick up the phone and then you talk some more. Right? You pick up the phone and then you talk some more, you talk some more, you talk some more for another 1-2 hours until your mother scolds you. Why are you cooking porridge on the telephone, right? Cooking porridge, slowly you burn it, slowly you burn, right? That's what my mom scolded me. Right? In Cantonese. That's what we do. How come? You're in love. You continue to talk more and more and more and more. It's never enough. And then the next day, same procedure again and again and again. But the moment the thing stops, what happens? You fall out of love, isn't it? Can't stand the girl's voice any longer. Hear her voice, terrible. Right? But when you're in love, whatever she says, whatever the tone, whatever it is, sweetest sound to your ear. Like Jacob. 7 years working for father
father-in-law, future father-in-law, like a few days. That's love, isn't it? Tremendous. No amount of time spent with your one that you love is enough. So every morning he wakes up, he sees Rachel. Oh, what a wonderful day. Working for free, you know, for 7 years. Never mind, it's okay. What is money compared to the nearness that I can have with Rachel? That was his reasoning, perhaps. Most likely. That's why he could say for like a few days. But when you are out of love, a few days like a few years. What's wrong with us when we do not delight in spending time with our Heavenly Father? When to us a few minutes is like a few hours. When absence does not make our heart grow fonder, it's out of sight, out of mind. What is our problem? Are we not Christians? Are we not truly sons and daughters of the Most High God? Have we not truly, really accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior? Then can we not therefore say like the psalmist, unless thy law had been my delights, O Lord, that I find deep, great pleasure in the word of everlasting life. I should then have perished in my affliction, in my sin. I would have died in my sin. I will never forget thy precepts, the psalmist cried, for with them thou hast quickened me, made me alive. I will never, never forget thy word for all the goodness, the grace, and the mercies that you have wrought in my life. That's the psalmist's cry, because with them you have made me so alive. Once upon a time I thought I was living, until you become a Christian, and then you look at this life so different. The world remains the same. Who has changed? The Christian has changed. He looks at this world now with new eyes. He sees beyond this life. He has hope. He knows God. And he knows that God knows him. I am thine. Save me. For I have sought thy precepts. I belong to you. You have saved me. And I have sought, I have gone after, I have searched it out. Your commandments, your word, your law. Search it out. He put it as his priority. He will not let anything or anyone stop him from reading and studying and meditating on God's word. We thank God that in our night classes in FEBC, there are many, many who attended the past few night classes in FEBC. And we thank God that the largest number came from Pandan Church. We thank God for those who have this deep interest in the study of the Word of God. We know that it is a sacrifice. After a hard day's work, you have a very quick supper, rain or shine, or rain or no rain, you will be there. And some of you are taking for credit where you study and you write papers and you take exams. We thank God for all of you who make the effort, who continue to grow. We pray and hope that more will attend and you are constrained by your love for your Savior. And that becomes your motivation and your impetus. That come what may, no matter what, this will be your priority. You will search out the Word of God, search out His laws, find out what is the meaning, what is the truth that is in the Word of God. And then the moment you have found the answer, your heart is so happy, so delighted, and you are so excited, like someone who has been looking for gold all his life. And the deeper you dig, the more precious are the gems. And you delight in them. When you read the Word of God and you understand the Word of God, your heart is thrilled by the knowledge that the Word of God gives to you in your heart to illumine the dark corners of your life, to know what is God's will for your life. That if you walk along this will of God, you know, not without a shadow of doubt, not at all, without any doubt, you know that at the end of your life journey, your life will be pleasing in the sight of God. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. The word consider means consider diligently, and it is written in such a way where it speaks of the first person. I myself will do it, because no one can do it for you. The mom can't, the dad can't, you have to consider diligently. This word is also translated as meditate in verse 99. You see the word meditation? Same word. So the word consider involves meditation. It also involves understanding. Verse 104, same word in Hebrew. Understanding, consider, meditation. Same word. So it has this idea of pondering over it, mulling over it over and over again. God's testimonies, God's word, the Ten Commandments. Exodus 31, verse 18, that's how God describes his testimony. The word testimonies there equals the word of God. Exodus 31, verse 18, this is what it says. I read to you. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communion with him upon Mount Sinai, that is after 40 days and 40 nights, two tables of testimony, tables of stone written with the finger of God. So the testimonies here refers to the Ten Commandments, the word of God, his commandments. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. In other words, the end of perfection. What perfection? Whose perfection? Man. Man may think that they are perfect. With all their ways and means, with all their inventions and their technology, men have fooled themselves. The psalmist says, I look at man. I look at the deeds and the works of man. They all have its limits. All of them will crumble, all of them will fall. The tallest building, the longest bridge, whatever it might be, it may look perfect in the eyes of men, but they will crumble and they will fall. They will decay. They have its limits, but not the word of God. It is so complete, it is so wide, it is so broad, it covers every aspect of our lives. So much so that if you obey the word of God, the Bible says it will always be for your good. Not sometimes, not most of the time, always for your good. Do you know how wonderful that is? To have a book in our hands, that if we obey it sincerely from our hearts, to the best of our ability with God's help, it will be for our good always. Deuteronomy 6, verse 24. That's God's promise. Always for our good. Now, if you and I who have the word of God, and you know you have the word of God in your palm, in your phone, everywhere, but God says you must have the word of God inside you, not outside of you, no count. I think most of us have at least 5, 6, some of us might even have 10 Bibles. True? In our computer alone, you have so many different translations. Right? On our shelves, all the many different translations. Yet, God says, if you obey my word, you have the word of God, you hide it in your heart, you meditate, you consider, you understand the word of God, it will always be for our good. Deuteronomy 6:24, bear that in mind. Always. And therefore, why are we not doing it? Why are we not doing it then? Perhaps it's because of our lack of love. That's why we are not wise. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day, the psalmist cried. The bottom line is one of love, isn't it? When you love God, you will love his word. When you love his word, you will love God. Because when you know his word, you will know him. And the more you know him, the easier it is for us to love him. The less you know him, he's a stranger to you. And that is why a boy who loves the girl will want to talk and talk and talk and talk, because he wants to know everything about the girl so that he will be able to have a deeper, a stronger, committed love to this girl. So he wants to find out more and more. That's why they talk and talk and talk. So you want to know your Heavenly Father, to know who he is and what he is like? Study the word. It's all here. It's in the Bible. And we live in freedom. No one will put you in prison if you hold the Bible in your hands. If you open it anywhere in the world and you can study it, you are free to do it. Because it is so free, perhaps that's why we don't do it. We take it for granted. Not for Christians in persecuted countries. Still some parts of Russia where they have to hide to worship the Lord. They worship the Lord 1, 2, 3 a.m. in the morning. And they make pre-arrangements to go into the woods. And when they sing, they whisper. They can't sing out loud.
When they study, when they read God's word, it's a whisper. And they thank every opportunity where they can to come together in that manner to worship, because they never know when they will be arrested in the middle of the night or be betrayed by even one of their own members. A disgruntled member could easily betray them and they will be caught. And so they cherish and they value every opportunity that they could find to worship, to read, to study God's word. They don't have the word of God the way we have, in computers all over the place. And yet they love the word of God far, far more than many of us, if not all of us. And that's to our shame, because we have it so readily, so freely, so easily. Therefore, we don't cherish it, we don't value it. Do you love the word of God? Oh, how I love thy law, the psalmist cried. It is my meditation all the day, every moment of every day. Every day he wants to meditate, ponder, consider the word of God. Thou through thy commandments have made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. You know how to deal with the enemies that are around us, from the fallen angels, the demons, to all the human beings who have taken the side of Satan to do his evil work. We live in a world that is not our friend. The enemies are all around us. You want to deal with them, you know how to not be bombarded by them, to cause us to fall apart and to crumble by them. The word of God, that's the answer. That's what the psalmist cried. Commandments have made me wiser than my enemies. I have more understanding than all my teachers. For thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, than the teachers of old as well, because I keep thy precepts. You see the second half of verses 99 and verses 100 and verse 100? For thy testimonies are my meditation, because I keep thy precepts. So you and I are wiser than our teachers, than our predecessors, provided the word of God is our meditation, provided we obey God's precepts, God's commandments. If you and I don't meditate upon it, we do not obey the word of God, having them, holding them in our hands will do us no good. You can hold in your hand the most expensive Bible, no good. You must read it, obey it. And to do that, you must have a love for God, a love for His word. And if you have a love for God and for His word, no one can stop you from studying and from reading and from obeying God's word, come what may. When you have this delight and this thrill and this joy in your heart, even the worst enemy, no matter what kind of betrayal, what kind of hurt and pain, you will still have the peace in your heart. There is no bitterness, there is no resentment, because you have the Lord, you have His word. So you can even love those enemies of yours. That's what the Bible teaches us. And how to love that kind of enemies? The love of Christ, an unconditional, sacrificial love. And I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. You see how wonderful it is? We don't have to retaliate, we don't have to react. It will keep us from sin, because we have kept God's word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. So no matter what, no matter how difficult the circumstance, you will continue to obey God's word. You will not leave God's word. Even if you have to stand alone, you will still follow God's word. Even if the whole world will not defend and obey God's word, you will still defend and obey God's word, because you love God and you love His word. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. These are all personal. You notice the personal pronoun is in the first person. You have to eat it in order to taste the sweetness. I can't do it for you. My wife can't do it for me. My children can't do it for me. I can't do it for my children. Each and every child of God must do it himself. And if you do not, you continue to have that bitter taste in your mouth, and you are the loser. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. So now you know how to hate sin and how to hate the way of sin. By loving God and loving His word. Very simple. Very simple. It's an open secret. Do you know how traumatic it is for someone to be struck down with blindness if he had been seeing all his life? The greater tragedy would definitely perhaps be someone who has been born blind, isn't it? Who has never been able to see the beauty of the sunrise or the sunset. Who will never be able to see God's creation. Oh, they can hear God's creation. They can hear the sound of the waterfall. They can hear the droplets falling from a leaf onto a pond. They can hear all this, but they can't see. No way the person can view the beauty of the colors of the rainbow. All these we take for granted. What happens is suddenly this person has been born blind all his life and suddenly has been given sight. But the man whom the Lord Jesus Christ healed, and for the first time in his life, he is able to see the grandeur, the magnificence of God's creation all around him, that this world is so colorful, it's so wonderful, it's so amazing. Once I was blind, but now I see. That's exactly what Christianity is. That's what Christ has done for us as his children, isn't it? To make us see. To make us see the beauty of the life that we can have in the Lord Jesus Christ. That this life without Christ is a life of sin, a life of darkness, a life of dread, a life of hopelessness. But this life is now an abundant life because of Jesus Christ. Our relationship has been transformed between husbands and wives, parents and children. Our attitude toward our jobs have also been transformed. Our ambitions are now set aside, and now we have a higher goal and a higher ambition, and that is to be a witness and an ambassador for Christ, pursuing the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus in our own life. How rich and how wonderful a life it is to be a child of God. And all these is found in the Word of God. And if we are God's children, and if we do not want to read God's Word and study God's Word and meditate upon God's Word and consider the Word of God, do you know what we are like? We are like people who were once upon a time born blind. And then God has miraculously opened our eyes and now we can see. But when we willingly, willfully, whose eyes have been opened by God and do not want to read God's Word, we are like people who force our eyes shut, walk around with our eyes closed, and then we grope in the dark on our own free will if we do not study the Word of God and if we are truly born again. You know how foolish that would be? To walk around with our eyes closed and all we have to do is to open our eyes and to know what is God's will. The preceptive will of God is God's revealed will to all of us. It's here. All you need to do is to read it, obey it. The Bible says, you are wiser than your teachers. You are wiser than the ancients. And you will be able to live a life that is acceptable before God and before all men. The choice is yours to make. You can't live for me. I can't live for you. I have to live on my own, with God's enabling, just as each and every one of us have to live this life that God has given to us on our own. For one day, all of us will have to stand before God and give an account of how we have lived this life that God has redeemed with Christ's precious blood. Bitterness, animosity, hatred, anger. God says, you follow my word. And all these, God says, false way, I will help you deal with them. That's God's promise. But if you do not know and study His Word and you grope in the dark, ignorance is not bliss. And definitely ignorance will not be an excuse that God will accept on the day of judgment. May God help us and stir within our hearts a love and a thrill and a joy for His Word. Oh, how love I thy law, the psalmist says. It is my meditation all the day. May this be our heart's cry. Let us pray. Our glorious, gracious, merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, O Lord, for who Thou art, for loving us so much to give us Thy Holy Word, a Word that is able to guide us in life's pathway. For we had been people of darkness, but now we are children of light, who have seen the truth. O Lord, help us to love Thee by loving Thy truth. And may Thou grant to us hearts of flesh, that we may obey Thy word, that this life that You have given to us may be lived to the praise and glory of Thy holy name.
For we ask all these things with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name. Amen.